good people who have traveled from villages near and far. Lend me your ears.
Hello? Hello? Anybody home?
What's up, Miss Tasty?
What's up, what's up?
Hi there, nice to see you. Bumblebee Tuna? Bumblebee Tuna!
Hello, West Mantooth. Hello, Evening News Team.
You are now listening to another edition of Movie Review Crew.
Welcome to the Goody Room.
But their ability to open is f***ing heroic.
And now, with your permission, I'm going to do my stuff.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to do the best I can.
All right, welcome in, everybody. This is another edition of the Movie Review Crew. I'm your host, Mike Lucas, and I'm joined by Steve Rushlaw.
How you doing?
And Matt McNeil.
What's up?
We have an excellent episode today, but first, I want to get into some sad news. I'm pretty sure the world has heard by now. Chadwick Boseman has passed away at age 43, the lead of the Black Panther film, and it's by colon cancer.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So I had found out, was that Friday night that happened?
I think so. I don't remember.
I texted you guys and I was like, wow, I had no, like, and I think people are coming out saying now that talking about what type of human being Chadwick Boseman is for him to have colon cancer for 4 years. And nobody in his inner circle said a word to anybody.
Yeah. It's just crazy. Like it's one of those things that like you never saw coming. I remember, I think Shane or it was you, Steve, said that you guys saw a picture of him from earlier this year and he looked thin, but we just thought it was for a role that he was trying to get into.
He had done like a Zoom conference call or something where he had given like donated like $3.5 million or something to, it was something with racial injustice or something like that.
Yeah.
And pretty much every comment on the video was,
he looks thin.
Yeah. He looks thin. It was pretty much making fun of him for how bad he looks. But
yeah,
you never know what somebody else is going through, I guess.
Yeah, for real. I mean, it's a never better time to take a step back and just like, don't make fun of people, unless they're your friends, of course. I make fun of you guys all the time.
Yeah.
But like, don't maliciously make fun of each other, you know, because you don't know anyone else's struggles. And on this show, I want to promote positivity. So.
Yeah. One other thing I wanted to add to that, just the amount he went through. Since 2016, I mean, he did, I think he did Civil War. He did Infinity, War.
Yeah. All the Avengers essentially.
Endgame. So he had 3 Avenger movies, Black Panther. I think he was in Defy Bloods.
Yep.
Which just came out on Netflix. Marshall, I think it was like 6 or 7 movies he did.
Right. Action films.
Yeah.
While undergoing this.
21 Bridges was another one. So.
Yeah,
I mean, it's amazing how many action movies he did while dealing with colon cancer.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. And it's sad because I think he had such a bright future. I mean, he had only hit the spotlight, I think, at least in my eyes, in the past 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, I don't think he's been around. I think most people would have noticed him in 42 playing Jackie Robinson.
Yeah. But when did that come out?
I think that was like 2011.
Was it?
So I think he's only been around for like 10 years. And it's, I think another thing that's crazy is he actually died on Jackie Robinson like weekend for the MLB this week. Yeah. This weekend is Jackie Robinson weekend. So literally that's everybody's crazy. Wearing 42 and he dies on that weekend.
Yeah. Did you guys see the crazy thing about Denzel Washington?
No.
During all this? So I guess, and I haven't been able to fact check this, but I saw that when Chadwick Boseman was going through university, he wasn't able to attend like a program or a summer program or something like that. And Denzel Washington anonymously donated the funds so Chadwick Boseman could go through this. So it's just, it's just another way that, you know, actors supporting actors. And I think it's really cool. And you hear all these awesome stories about Chadwick Boseman at this point, supporting other people. And it's, I don't know, it's nice to see, I guess, you know, living his memory living on past him.
Yeah. And I think, this hits home for a lot of people because of what Black Panther meant to a lot of people.
Oh yeah.
There's multiple videos, TikToks going around of people pretty much saying what Black Panther meant to them. So yeah, I think this hits home to a lot of people.
Yeah. Also his final tweet, and I feel weird commenting on a tweet, but damn it, whatever. his final tweet is the most liked tweet of all time now. So take that, Kendall Jenner. I honestly don't even know if she had the most liked tweet, but I would imagine just, that would be
just
something.
Just putting her on blast for no reason.
Hey, man. Had to. Somebody has to.
Is that the 7 million tweets?
I don't know.
Or likes on it?
Yeah, I don't even know. I saw that headline and I was like, well, that's pretty cool. So, I already started the show with kind of some sad news, but let's move into more positive things.
Yeah, it's a good thing that we're doing the movie that we're doing, because that's the kind of pick me up that we need after this.
Yeah, without a doubt. Some good news is Wonder Woman 1984 launched their first trailer. Have you guys seen it?
I have not.
I have not watched it yet.
Damn it. None of us watched it. We're unprepared. I think, to be fair,
I didn't know that it launched.
Yeah. At the time of recording, I do think it launched either this morning or late last night. So,
gotcha.
But I hear, I thought the first Wonder Woman was great. Gal Gadot or Gal Gadot, however you pronounce it, is, I think, awesome as Wonder Woman. So I am very much looking forward to that movie.
I really like her in the role. I thought the movie itself was just okay.
Really?
I know it's going to sound weird. It was the best DC movie, which isn't saying much, but it's still a good movie.
Yeah. See, that's where I'm saying is like.
And she was very good in the role, considering a lot of people were mad that she was cast as Wonder Woman.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's funny that you say it's the best DC movie because it's the most Marvel DC movie.
Well,
yeah,
it's man. Okay, I hate that we hate on the Marvel films because yeah, they stick to a formula. Yeah, they do it right. You can say all these things about them, but they're objectively good movies. What do you want?
I mean, and
what do you want? I mean, you're not, movie.
I don't know about objectively good. They make a lot of money.
Well, but I'm saying, like, what are you trying to want and get out of a comic book movie? Action.
Spider-Verse.
Okay, but that's an animated film.
That's what I. But you can hit that same kind of tone in live action as well.
Sure.
You're saying this, but it follows the same thing as the other movies that are in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Into the Spider-Verse, it follows that same pattern.
Well, I think we'll get into this because on today's episode, we are going to be reviewing Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. But I think objectively that Spider-Verse makes you care about the characters more than any other Marvel film.
Because Spider-Verse is its own contained story. It's not this big bloated universe where you have to cram as many people into it as humanly possible because they all have contracts and you have to make sure everybody gets paid.
I mean,
all right, get off your diatribe.
No, let's table this for now. How about that?
So, no, go ahead, Mike. Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, let's table that conversation.
Okay, that's fine.
Let's get into what have you guys watched? Have you watched anything new lately?
Yeah, I've watched a couple of movies. I watched a movie called After Midnight, which I then had both Aaron and Shane watch, and they mm-hmm. both liked it as well. It's a decent low budget movie. It advertises itself as kind of like a monster type horror movie, but it's really not. It's a relationship drama, and there's also a monster in it.
Shane talked about that a little bit.
Yeah, it's decent. Henry Zebrowski, and if any of you have ever watched Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell or listened to the last podcast on the left, you know who Henry Zebrowski is. He has a role in that movie, and he's just a delight every time he's on screen. So I would recommend watching the movie just for him by itself. But overall, it was a decent movie. I'd give it a solid B+. Then I also watched another movie called, what was it called? It had Elijah Wood in it. Come to Daddy. That's what it was. That movie's weird.
I've never even heard of this. Is this the Mario and Luigi one with Nick Cage?
No. Nope. Nope. It is a movie where Elijah Wood tries to reconnect with his estranged father, but then it turns out that the guy who he thinks is his dad isn't actually his dad, and it takes a weird kind of, it takes like 8 weird left turns. And it's really hard to describe, but it's free on Prime. I would recommend watching it.
Okay. Anything else?
Nah, not for me. That's pretty much all the movies I've watched recently. I haven't been watching too much TV.
Yeah, I haven't either. Steve, what about you?
I watched a couple. I haven't been on here in like 3 weeks, and I've only watched like 2 movies. I've been real busy with work and stuff.
Yeah, get it.
But Netflix has a movie out called Project Power. I don't know if anybody's talked about that. It has Jamie Foxx, Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I'm a sucker for Joseph Gordon-Levitt, so I thought it was a pretty good movie. I'm sure some people won't enjoy it because it's kind of I'd say the camera work isn't very good. But the acting, for the most part, between Jamie Foxx and Joseph Gordon-Levitt's pretty good. And then my wife was watching on Hulu a movie called Just Before I Go. It has Sean William Scott in it. If anybody doesn't know who that is, he's from American Pie. He plays Stifler.
Yeah.
Way back in the day. So pretty much Sean William Scott thinks his life sucks. So he's going to kill himself before
dark.
Yeah. Going through this whole, like going back, finding his teacher that bullied him, finding this person that bullied him. And it kind of, he goes and lives with his brother for a little bit. And it's kind of his path to, seeing that his life is worth more than he actually thought it was.
Sure.
So kind of like It's a Wonderful Life, but not Christmas?
Pretty much. It's not bad. Sean William Scott's not the greatest of actors, but overall, I enjoyed the movie. Made me tear up a little bit.
Yeah. Going back a step, I was looking at Project Power. That looks interesting, though. It kind of has like a Limitless sort of.
Yeah, it's got an interesting premise. Got a drug that goes out on the market called Power, and if you take it, you could turn into what's the guy
or whatever.
Yeah, pretty much a superhero, like super strength. You can get flight. You can turn on fire. It's
interesting.
Yeah, it's a different concept. I enjoyed it.
Okay. Yeah, it's got middle reviews on Rotten Tomatoes. It's sitting at 60% and 50%.
Yeah, it's not bad. And it's free with Netflix, so I'd say definitely go give it a try.
What has Joseph Gordon-Levitt been up to these days? Obviously Project Power, but what else?
I haven't seen him in much of anything lately.
Counting
I couldn't tell
his money.
I couldn't tell you the last thing he's did before.
He was the voice of Detective Hard Rock in Knives Out. Did you know that?
I did not know that at all.
Yeah. So there was a while, though, where Joseph Gordon-Levitt was like the hottest man in Hollywood.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that.
What do you mean? Was that a joke? I'm confused.
I mean, he looks like he was in The Last Jedi.
Was he really? Hold on.
Yeah. It says Slow and Low.
Was a
voice character for that.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's crazy to
probably
see.
Probably somebody who was on screen for like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Most likely if neither of you two have it hits any
bells
or anything.
No, but I mean, he was like when Looper and Premium Rush and A Dark Knight Rises and all that stuff came out in 50-50.
Inception.
Yeah, dude, like he was like one of the hottest and most sought after actors in all of Hollywood.
Yeah, it was like 2010 to like
mm-hmm.
2014 roughly.
Kind of crazy. So who would win a fight? Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
You're kind of crazy.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt or Elijah Wood?
Probably Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
You think?
Elijah Wood. He's got those crazy eyes.
Yeah.
Now, who would win in a fight between Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Coach Ditka?
Ditka.
Ditka.
Ditka. Oh my goodness.
What about you, Mike? What have you seen?
I honestly, man, I don't know. I haven't sat down to watch anything. I've been going through Atlanta still, and that is quickly going up my ranks of the best comedies I have ever seen.
Still good, huh?
It's, dude, I'm telling you, it talks about like racism and poverty without being like in your face about it. Like there are themes, and it is, I'm telling you, the best show I have seen in a long, long, long time.
You said that's on Hulu?
Yeah, it's on Hulu. And go ahead.
I might have to check it out. I really enjoy Donald Glover. For me, he was the best part about Community.
Mm-hmm.
So I might have to check it out.
Yeah, dude. And there's a lot of great supporting actors and actresses in that show. Like Zazie Beetz is in there.
Really?
She played Domino in
Deadpool 2.
Yep, in Deadpool 2. And yeah, she's fantastic. And I don't know the other two actors' names, but they're two guys that he kind of works with a lot. And they're just fantastic. So I completely recommend that still. Before I do forget, though, I helped set up one of my friends' podcasts a little while back. You know, just like walking them through how to actually start it and everything. And they actually released their first episode this weekend. So I want to give them a quick shout out before I forget. It's the Womb to World podcast. It's these two girls that are just, they've been best friends since like their parents became best friends, like at a Lamaze class or something like that. I don't know. They met like in the womb, right? So they just kind of talk about their life experience, and I wanted to get that out there. Womb to World podcast, you can find it on like iTunes and Spotify and all the places you can find podcasts. I just want to get that out there before I forgot, because they gave us a great shout out on their show, and I just want to repay the favor. So
that's very nice of them.
Yeah. So hopefully, you know, they still listen. And actually, they were the ones, Kim Gao, who runs it, requested last week's episode of
Palm Springs.
Yep. So I know that they're still listening. So big shout out. Thank you very much for listening. Is there anything else you guys want to get into before we move into the Spider-Verse?
I guess one thing I did want to mention, we've talked about a little bit here. I don't know if we've mentioned this, but we're all from Omaha, Nebraska. Mm-hmm. So the Alamo Theater here in town is about to open up. I think
Such a bad idea.
Next week, I know McNeil's thoughts. Mike, what's your thoughts on the Alamo Theater here in town opening back up?
Are you talking about because of the coronavirus or because they were poisoning people right before this happened?
I mean, you can hit either or.
I'm just kidding. I've been so against opening up and going to bars and stuff like that. So like, I don't think it's the best idea, but at least there's a mask mandate now in Douglas County where we're at. It's tough to say because like, if you think about it on like a broad scale, I think there's been like only 15,000 reported cases or 20 some thousand cases in Douglas County altogether. And it's a population of almost 600,000. So that's a small sliver, but even the active infections are pretty small. Like I think it's like 5,000 right now. So like, if you think about it, you have such a small chance, but it just takes one, and pardon my French, it takes one dumbass to go and infect a ton of people, because you're going to be sitting in a theater and laughing, and that's when it really starts to spread. And it's just, so you won't find me in a theater for a long, long time.
So for me, I understand it. You're trying to open it up. You try to make some money.
Yeah.
Your business. That's what you do.
For sure.
I like what they're doing. The mask mandates, they're 6 feet between groups. So if me and my wife were to go, the next people have to be two, three seats away from me. But I can't see myself going to the theater anytime soon. I honestly, I'd rather just pay the price when it comes out.
So I can watch it at home. Yeah. There's nothing in my body that tells me this $20 movie is worth 2 weeks of being sick. You know what I mean?
Yeah. McNeil?
I'm with Mike 100% on this. Like you're not going to get me into a theater until this whole thing is done and over with. And the fact that they're opening for the New Mutants.
Yeah, which has gotten terrible reviews.
Out of all the movies that you can open with, let's open for the New Mutants that has been delayed for like 3 years, has gone through constant rewrites. Terrible business decision.
and the reviews of that movie are terrible. There's people saying it is the worst X-Men movie of all time.
Dude,
that's saying a lot, because there's some of the new ones were pretty bad.
I don't know if I've even seen like a trailer for this one.
I have seen trailers like back when it was first announced, and they said, "Oh, it's going to be like this hard R horror movie," when that's what got me interested in it. And then, you know, 2 years later, when the movie's finally coming out, and it doesn't look anything like what they said it was going to be, I've completely lost interest. And I don't know if I would go so far, and it's not fair for me to say because I haven't seen the movie yet, but I don't know if I'd go so far as to say that it's the worst X-Men movie of all time, because I have seen X-Men 3 and X-Men Origins, and I would be hard-pressed to find a worse movie than either of those.
X-Men Origins is pretty bad.
Yeah.
But this movie looks like it has your girl ATJ, Matt.
Yeah, that was the other thing that had me interested in going to see it, because I absolutely adore her as an actress, but this is definitely one that, you know, I'll wait for it to be streaming where I don't have to pay anything for it and then say, yep, that's a bad movie, instead of going to a theater.
Dude, this one has like the B actors of all of the popular shows. Like, it's got Maisie Williams and Charlie Heaton, who played the brother in Stranger Things.
Yeah, like, what characters can we get that people will like recognize but not really know who they are?
Right. Right. Yeah. That's what it feels like.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that the first trailer for New Mutants came out for a Super Bowl like 2 or 3 years ago.
Oh yeah, the movie's been pushed back 100 times.
God, that's got to be. I wonder what their budget is, and how over budget they are. You know what I mean,
right?
Because like Super Bowl commercials aren't, they ain't cheap.
No, not at all.
Yeah. We moving into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah, let's move into the Spider-Verse.
All right, before we get right there, I want to say go to our website, moviereviewcrew.com. You can request movies right on our homepage. Also, if you have something to say about the show, send us an email at podcast@moviereviewcrew.com. Please, we want to hear from our listeners, so go ahead, website, moviereviewcrew.com and podcast@moviereviewcrew.com. All right, let's get into it. All right, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. From 2018, it's a PG, hour and 57 long minute film. It's an animated action adventure film. Teen Miles Morales becomes the Spider-Man of his universe and must join the 5 Spider-Man powered individuals from other dimensions to stop a threat for all realities. Directed by, God, there's 3 director credits on this one. Bob Parrishetti, Pete Ramsey, and Rodney Rothman. Written by Phil Lord and Rodney Rothman. Also the story adapted by Phil Lord. Now starring Shameik Moore as Miles Morales, Jake Johnson as Peter Parker, Haley Steinfeld as Gwen Stacy, Mahershala Ali as Uncle Aaron, Brian Tyree Henry as Jefferson Davis, Lily Tomlin as Aunt May, Zoe Kravitz was Mary Jane, John Mulaney was Spider-Ham, Kimiko Glenn as Penny Parker, Nick Cage as Spider-Man Noir, Catherine Hahn as Doc Ock. There's a lot. Liev Schreiber as Wilson Fisk.
It's a star-studded cast.
Yeah.
Chris Pine. Yeah, Chris Oscar Pine. Isaac.
I did not realize Chris Pine was the Peter Parker. Well, the first Peter Parker.
And yeah.
Who does Oscar Isaac play? Interesting person number one.
What the hell is that? it's probably like the small voice. Like yeah. He's got like one line probably.
That's kind of cool though. I admire when studios are able to get in like big actors like Oscar Isaac and stuff like that into films like this. The film has also won 1 Oscar. It's the best animated feature film of the 2019 Oscars. On Rotten Tomatoes, the film gets a 97% certified fresh. Should be higher than that. 8.77 out of 10 from critics. Audience score of 93%, giving it a 4.53. out of 5. So near perfect scores for Spider-Man and Spider-Verse. Yeah. It's honestly, Matt, you picked it. Why did you pick it?
Because it is the best Spider-Man movie that's ever been made and also the lowest grossing Spider-Man movie that's ever been made. And it's really perfect. It is. It's the lowest grossing Spider-Man movie. And it's perfect and I love it, and I needed to pick me up because 2020 is awful, and I figured that this was, and we've only ever done 1 other animated movie and it was a disaster, so this is the redemption arc. Yes. To prove that we can review animated movies and it's fine.
Yeah, agreed. Also, so I want to start off by saying I think you're completely right about saying it is the best Spider-Man movie ever made. Steve, I think, has a different opinion on that, but we'll get to that in a second. It's gross, $375 million. So it's not to say that this movie didn't make money. It's just that the other Spider-Man movies were so wildly successful.
Yeah, so. And I think a little bit of it has to do with it being animated. I think this got a bigger following after it was in theaters. Mm-hmm. Granted, it did make a decent amount of money in theaters. I think a lot of people... word of mouth started getting around that this movie was pretty good. And what'd you say? 375
million.
Yeah, that's a pretty good chunk of change there.
Yeah, it is. I remember when it was in theaters, everybody kept telling me like, oh, you got to see it, you got to see it, you got to see it, you got to see it. And I was like, nah, it's animated. And then I saw it because it came free to Netflix shortly thereafter. And I was like, damn, why didn't I see this?
They had a, when I went and saw Venom in theaters at the end of that movie, they had a kind of a sneak peek of Spider-Verse, and I knew right then and there. I was like, all right, I'm going to go see this movie when it comes out because it looks fantastic. It is, and granted, it's because it's animated, so they can do this, because I think the last movie, the last live action movie that tried it was Ang Lee's Hulk, and we all know how that turned out. Yeah. But this movie looks like a comic book, and it's I wish that more movies would do that kind, because the art direction in this movie is phenomenal. Dude. And I wish that more like superhero type movies would go towards that. And even if it means we get more animated movies, that's fine. But I want more movies with this kind of art direction.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. Yeah. So Steve, you don't, you kind of had the look on your face like you didn't think that this was the best Spider-Man film.
I mean, for me, it's a good movie. I agree with you guys, but I don't know if it's necessarily one of the best one. I enjoy the first two Tobey Maguire Spider-Mans.
Yeah.
But I'd put this up there with them. I'm not saying that like Spider-Man is the first two are up here and then Into the Spider-Verse. I mean, it's like one, two, three right there, right next to each other.
Sure.
But I'd have to agree, everything about this movie is, I mean, visually pleasing. Like Matt said, it's literally like a comic book. I mean, everything about it.
I don't think you can understand that, like, it's like a comic book without actually having seen it.
Yeah.
But it's everything from the textures and even the framing on each one. Like, you could take a screenshot in like every 5 minutes and it would basically be a comic book.
Oh yeah.
It's so beautifully done.
Yeah. And I think with McNeil saying that we only did Iron Giant and going back to animated movies, I think this was the perfect movie to go back to.
Yeah.
Because I think the characters, you can actually see the emotion on their face, mm-hmm. unlike some other animated movies. So I think this was probably the best movie we could have done to go back to animated movies.
Oh, without a doubt. And as we kind of alluded to earlier, the characters actually arc in this one. And like, I think we had a brief review of Toy Story 4 a little while back, and I was like, I loved it. And I think Aaron was like, no, the movie sucked. The characters didn't arc at all. You didn't learn anything new by the end of it. And I was like, oh, in hindsight, maybe. I thought it kind of had themes and stuff. But in this movie, it's extremely clear about what characters want, which Peter Parker is arcing in a complete way. And Miles Morales, you get to watch him basically grow into the spider suit. And phenomenally done.
And I think for a person who has never read a comic book in their life, has no clue what Spider-Man is, and was just jumping into this movie, could watch this movie and understand who every character is. Because when Penny Parker comes in, they have a snippet explaining her.
Yep.
Spider-Noir, Spider-Ham, each one of them, they have a snippet explaining them, and then every one of them has a arc throughout this movie.
Yeah, dude, and I think it's hilarious, like, they kind of use those as flashbacks, but all they do is like smack down their comic and then it can run through it, and it's like, that's a very clever way to like, this is actually based on this comic or comic series X, Y, and Z or whatever, and then just run through it real quick. I thought it was geniusly done.
Yes, and the idea to get Nicolas Cage for Spider-Man Noir might be the single greatest casting choice I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And I know both of you love John Mulaney.
Oh my God.
I think he was great as Spider-Ham or Peter Porker.
Peter Porker. Oh my God, dude. He's so magnificent. And I think also, like, real quick, the script is just written perfectly.
Oh yeah. And
I'm starting to note that Phil Lord, he was the producer for this and the writer for this. He has touched so many great movies, including 22 Jump Street. So But no, like
I was wondering where you were gonna go with it.
No, legitimately though, like he wrote Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs and Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2, the Lego movie. He co-wrote the Lego movie, I know for sure, and Lego movie 2 and Into the Spider-Verse. Like the dude knows how to write a film. And it's just something about it, man. I've really thought this was done excellently.
Oh, for sure. And the pacing of that story is flawless. Like you start off and it's funny, it's superbirded, and then as the stakes get raised, you know, the movie definitely takes a more serious tone, and you feel bad for the characters, and you go through that emotional journey with them. But at the same time, it still keeps just enough humor in there, so you don't feel like the movie is going in like in a too depressing.
Sure. It's not too downtrodden.
Yeah, right. Because like so spoilers. It turns out that Prowler, the villain who works for Kingpin, who has tried to kill Miles, up to like three or four times during the movie. Turns out that that's Uncle Aaron, and when they find out who each other are, you know, you have that tense moment, and then Kingpin just murders Prowler, Miles' dad thinks that Spider-Man did it, and it's like this super serious moment, but then, you know, it'll throw like a joke in there to keep it just lighthearted enough to where it's like, man, this kid's movie is really dark.
Yeah, I mean, Aaron actually was going to join us on the podcast, which is kind of funny, and he has a two-year-old now, and he had to turn off the film because the two-year-old thought it was too scary. kind of cracks me up.
I mean, yeah. In his defense, that Green Goblin is like
it is pretty creepy.
Looks perfect, and and it's pretty creepy.
Yeah. No. And character design in general, and I think art direction is the real hero of this film. Like, it would not. I don't think it would have gotten the Oscar win, for that matter, or as much praise as it did if it didn't look and feel like a comic book. Because we've seen animated films like Batman: The Killing Joke and stuff, doesn't look as good as this.
No, not anywhere close.
This movie, dare I say, is groundbreaking in the way of art direction. Like, it's just. It's something that you have to witness, because the texturing is flawless, and yeah, I don't know if I should spend as much time as I am just talking about it.
I mean, we could do a whole show just on the art direction of this movie, because there is so much to talk about, and the multiple times, like in the first chase sequence between Miles and Prowler, when he's chasing him through the subway, and Miles jumps across the tracks like right as the subway train's coming in, and it flashes just for like a second, and I'm all, if it weren't for the fact that I knew better, I would swear that they just took a comic panel and just put it, because like it changes just for a split second where the complete color palette of the scene is different. It looks like somebody just took a screenshot of a comic panel and said, all right, here is that scene in the movie now. And there are just little glimpses of that throughout the entire movie. And then they've got like the word bubbles that pop up. And like you said earlier, Mike, you could take any 5 minutes of this movie and just pause, and it looks like a comic panel. Yeah. And the way that, and the fact that not just stylistically, but it also plays into the narrative. Like anytime there's word bubbles, it's Miles' inner thoughts that are popping up on the screen, and it's just so beautifully done. The best part of that is like when he's at school and he has that incident with Gwen and he's walking down the hallway and he's like, oh, they know, she knows. Wow, she's super tall. And it's just those little moments is just fantastic. And they're sprinkled throughout the entire movie, which keeps it real fresh the whole way through.
Yeah, agreed. And going back to like, you don't have to shoot this, obviously, like you would a normal film with the camera, right? But you still have to decide the framing and the way in which the characters live within the framing and how you paint this picture. And dude, the use of like Dutch angles and low angles to make the characters look large, and it's done to a level that I personally haven't seen or physically thought about in an animated film like this before. So yeah, I just think it's completely like knocks it out of the park.
I agree wholeheartedly.
Good.
Yeah, and you had said you don't really want to spend too much time on the art direction, but I mean, that's what like 75% makes this movie what it is.
Oh yeah.
I mean, everything about is visually pleasing. Mm-hmm. When he's doing the graffiti right before he gets bit by the spider is like just him spraying everything. It looks awesome.
Yeah.
So like McNeil said, I mean, we could go through a whole episode just talking about the art direction of this
without
movie.
A doubt. Also, I love how, first of all, there was no Uncle Ben. We didn't get that thing, you know?
Right.
It's Miles Morales and it's not Peter Parker, but I feel like every Batman movie anyway is like, oh, here's my parents. You know what I mean?
Right. I mean, they still reference the line, which is great, because then the alternate universe Peter Parker like shuts it down. He's like, I'm sick of hearing that. And I'm like, thank you.
Right.
Because so am I.
Right. I think that this movie breaks the fourth wall very subtly in a lot of ways, like that, where they can poke fun at people's reactions in real life. And then also like Miles Morales is reading a comic book, even though he's in a comic book, and he's learning how to like, it's very tongue in cheek in a lot of ways. And I think that goes back to the writing of like, this movie is just so smart.
Yes. And I think that, especially with voice acting, because there's a whole different skill set that you need when voice acting versus when being on camera. And the voice actors that they chose for each of these roles, I think the casting choices were absolutely perfect. I can't mm-hmm. in like, cause I was going through in my mind, you know, after I had watched it again on Friday, thinking like, okay, who would have, like, if they didn't get who they got, who would I have put in to voice these characters? And I couldn't think of better choices. Like they knocked it out of the park on each one.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I don't know if I've ever seen the lead who played Miles in anything.
I think that's one of his first movies, honestly.
We actually reviewed one of the movies.
Really?
Yeah, he was the lead in Dope, which you guys hated.
I didn't hate it.
You guys just didn't think it was as good as I did. I think that movie's fantastic.
I have thought about going back and revisiting it. I just haven't gotten around to it.
Yeah, that's fair.
One thing I wanted to say, you guys were talking about how they kind of skipped over the Uncle Ben. I can't think of what's his aunt's name?
Aunt May.
Yeah, Aunt May. I enjoyed that she was kind of a badass in this movie.
Oh my God, dude.
Pretty much every other Spider-Man movie, she's just like this frail old lady who's just like kind of waiting to die because Uncle Ben just died.
Yep.
But in this movie, she was just kind of a badass.
Yeah.
And I think this is, at least on film, I think this is the only time that Aunt May has been depicted as when she knows that Peter Parker is Spider-Man. Because I think in the Tobey Maguire movies, like, they kind of alluded to the fact that she knew, but they didn't explicitly state it. And then, and then I don't think, I haven't seen Far From Home, but in Homecoming, Aunt May didn't know.
It's kind of the same thing. It's kind of alluded to that she knows, right, but it's not really stated that she does.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I'm just looking at some of the trivia on IMDb real quick. And apparently this required 180 animators, the largest crew ever used by Sony Pictures Animation.
That's nuts.
Dude, for real. They're probably working on like 1 minute at a time or less than that, like frames at a time. It's insane.
I did read one trivia on there that anytime a train goes by, if you pause the movie and look at the train, Stan Lee is in the train.
Oh my God.
Every time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what it said. That's they said funny. Every time a train goes by, if you pause it and look at on the train, he's in there.
Huh. I'm going to have to go back and do that now.
So if they're able to do that, that's pretty, pretty amazing. Cause I'm pretty sure he died fairly shortly after this movie came out.
I think this is his last appearance in a movie before he passed away. Yeah.
Well, he was in both Avengers, wasn't he?
Yeah. But I think this was the last one he actually filmed or voiceovered.
Gotcha. Was he CGI'd in for the Avengers?
No, I think he filmed those because they were doing those for like 3 years. So
that's true.
He was able to do it, and then they still had it when he passed away.
Yeah, I get you. That makes sense. I wonder if they're going to keep that up, like if they can digitally put him in stuff.
I honestly hope they don't.
What? I said what?
Yeah.
I mean, just let him, saying, let him like, be.
What as you had something? I don't.
No.
I don't. Yeah, it would be cool to see him in, but I don't know if you could necessarily keep it going without a physical human being playing that role. It's like, hey, let's have what's the guy from Fast and the Paul Walker. Hey, let's have Paul Walker's brother play him, and we'll impose his face on that. It's kind of different knowing it's not the same thing.
Real quick, according to John Mulaney, the producers encouraged him to have fun with his role as Spider-Ham, so he added cuss words to his dialogue. He eventually asked what the rating of the film was, which was PG.
That's Dude, amazing.
I know, that cracks me up. Oh, man. Well, there's your little John Mulaney tidbit of the day.
I want those outtakes.
Right.
Yeah, see the outtakes of him actually cussing.
Yeah, that would be funny as hell.
So one question I'll ask you, because it sounds like you both really loved this movie.
Yeah.
What, if anything, was bad or wrong about this movie?
I wouldn't really say that this is bad per se, but I don't think Kingpin is the strongest of villains to have. But I think that the way that they did it was great. It gave him a motive of why he's doing what he's doing.
I agree with you. Kingpin's never been like this huge villain for me. I get it, but for me, he's not the greatest of Spider-Man villains.
I mean, Kingpin is—he's a minor. Well, I wouldn't say a minor. He's a lesser Spider-Man villain than your Green Goblins or your Doctor Octopuses, or he's like the Penguin, where he just has a lot of money. And can afford to build doomsday weapons, I guess.
Right.
But he's also super strong. I don't mind Kingpin being like the big bad of this movie because, like, kind of like what Mike said, like it, the the it does a good job of explaining his motivations and I wouldn't say really humanizing and making him sympathetic, but you can at least understand why he's doing what he's doing instead of, you know, Green Goblin or Dr. Octopus, where they really don't have a clear motivation for anything other than they're crazy and they hate Spider-Man. So I think for this story, I think Kingpin was the perfect choice. And then kind of having, you know, your villains that would normally take the spotlight, just kind of being his henchmen. Yeah. I think that was a good idea. Honestly, I don't really have a single gripe with this movie. I may end up giving it a perfect score on this because, like, the use of the villains, you know, nobody overstays their welcome. You don't really see a lot of Green Goblin except in the beginning, and that's fine. They use Doc Ock, you know, perfectly. Yeah. The other villains that show up, like Scorpion, you don't really need Scorpion in the movie, but he's there as just kind of another baddie. And then on top of that, like, this in recent memory, this might be my favorite movie soundtrack that's come out in the last few years.
Yeah, they used I think they used the movie soundtrack so splendidly, dude.
Like,
all right, Mike, Baby Driver or this for soundtrack?
Oh,
or use of music.
Baby Driver for use of music.
Yeah.
Baby Driver. They did too many cool things in that movie with, like, stepping to the beat and, like, turning the corner every time it's like a new verse. Like, it, they did so many cool things to rhythm and beat with that movie. But soundtrack overall, I probably would listen to this one just strictly for music listening.
Oh, yeah. This soundtrack is phenomenal.
Yeah. Dude, that's a good question. That's a really good question.
Yeah, I know how much you love Baby Driver.
Dude, I'm telling you, I think you guys are sleeping on that film.
I still haven't seen it.
God damn. Dude, it actually, I think Laura feels the same way, where she's kind of like, why do you like this so much? And I'm like, it's because it's so cool. What do you mean? I don't know. But are we at the point to rating? Or actually, Steve, did you have anything that you didn't like about the movie or griped about it?
So I've tried to watch this movie like 3 times. And I finally got through it on Thursday. I think after McNeil watched it the first time, he's like, yeah, you guys should go watch this. And it came available on Netflix. I was like, I'm going to try to watch it.
Right.
I think I got through like 20 minutes and I was like, yeah, I'm going to go do something else. For some reason, I just couldn't keep myself occupied on watching the movie. This third time I threw my phone in the other room and I sat there and watched it. For me, I guess it's
too long.
That's kind of what my take is. I feel it's a little long. Cause what's it two, almost 2 hours.
Almost. It's like hour 56. Yeah.
I think I paused it at one time. My wife goes, there's still 45 minutes left. And I was like, yeah, it just seemed a little long, but honestly, I don't know what you would take out to make it shorter because it's progressing the story.
Yeah.
And each one of the characters arcing. So I just don't know what you would take out to make it shorter.
I mean, I kind of feel the same way where I'm like, you could make it 10 minutes shorter.
Yeah.
But I think that might hurt the movie though. So, because I honestly had the same thing. Like, it was in the last third of the film where I was like, a little long at this point, but it's still like, and that was at the climax of the action. And so I'm like, why am I having this feeling now? You know? Yeah. So it's kind of interesting that you say that, but I don't, if you take anything out, I think you just heard it. So.
Yeah.
Are we at that point though?
I think so.
Yep. All right. Matt, do you want to go first or last?
Sure, I can go first because it'll all be downhill from here. I kind of hinted at it, but after thinking it over over the last couple of minutes, perfect movie. I'm giving it a 10. There's nothing that I don't like about this movie. I don't have that issue with length. I think the pacing on this movie is perfect. It doesn't slack ever. Great characters, great soundtrack, great art direction, great film direction. Yeah. Nothing I wouldn't complain about. And if you haven't watched the movie, what are you doing? Go watch it. It's amazing. Perfect movie at it for me. 10 out of 10.
All right. Yeah. And like you said, it's available on Netflix. So it's easily accessible for a vast majority of the population. I know that I've said in the past that no movie is perfect and I will never give out a 10, and I'm going to stick with that, and I'm going to give it a 9.5. See what I did there? I set it up like I was going to give it a 10, and then I still didn't.
I knew you weren't going to give
it a 10.
Damn it. You guys know me too well.
You've said you're never going to give a movie a 10.
I probably won't. Yeah, there's something that doesn't feel right giving it a perfect score. There's just something that doesn't sit right with me. But anyway, Steve, what do you give it?
So I watched this on Thursday, and I've been kind of like racking my brain of what to give this. And I've been going back and forth, but I'm going to give it an 8.75. That's still an A, I believe. I don't know if it's an A+.
I think it's actually, that's an A-.
Is it?
Yeah.
So
our grading scale's tough, man.
Yeah. Overall, I think it's a really good movie, but for me, it was just a little too long. But like I said, I don't know what you could take out to make it shorter. But yeah, 8.75.
Damn. And then, so it's got a score of 9.42 out of 10, which is an A. It's just under an A+. That's not even in the top 5.
Really?
Dead serious.
Is it top 10?
It's top 10. I think it's tied for number 6.
All right. So go through the top 10.
Yep.
And we'll see which one we pick.
Okay. I don't have my sounder today, but pop quiz,
asshole. Pop quiz, asshole.
Saving Private Ryan. This or Saving Private Ryan?
This.
Saving Private Ryan. I'll say this. Saving Private Ryan is one of my favorite movies, and I gave it a 10. But it is a very long movie, so if I were to sit down and pick one, I'd probably pick this over Saving Private Ryan because it's so long.
Yeah. This or The Princess Bride?
Ooh.
I'd say this.
Princess Bride.
Oh, man. Oh, that is the hardest decision I think I've ever had to make in my life. I think I lean Princess Bride. Interesting. And I gave both of those a 10. Like, it's so hard.
Yeah. This or Apocalypse Now?
This.
I'd say this as well. This or Hereditary?
This.
They're very different movies.
Really? This.
I think I will.
Children's film?
Yeah. I will probably watch this more often than Hereditary, but I think overall Hereditary is probably the movie that sticks with me more.
This or Blade Runner 2049?
I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah. I'd still say this, probably. And ooh. I love that movie. This or Arrival?
This.
I haven't seen Arrival.
Arrival's very good. I would still watch this, though.
This or Little Shop of Horrors? God damn,
another movie that I gave a perfect 10 to.
This.
I think I lean this over Little Shop of Horrors, though.
Yeah. This or Mystic River?
This.
Mystic River.
Damn, that might be one where I go Mystic River.
Mm-hmm. Not gonna lie. That's a good movie.
Yep. This is number 10, but I want to go a few more after this. This or Hot Fuzz?
Hot Fuzz.
This.
Easily. Hot Fuzz.
No, this.
You're wrong.
This, I know. This or Jojo Rabbit?
Ooh.
I have to abstain. I haven't seen Jojo Rabbit yet.
Oh, man.
That's a tough one. I'm going to say Jojo Rabbit. That's a pretty great movie.
Yeah. Jojo Rabbit literally reduced me to tears. So, got to go with Jojo Rabbit. This or Forrest Gump?
This.
Forrest Gump. This. Thomas Hanks.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Thomas H. Hanks.
Yep, there you go. This or Wind River?
This.
I haven't seen Wind River.
This.
This or last one we'll do. This or Hell or High Water?
I haven't seen Hell or High Water.
It's good.
I'll say this. The acting in Hell or High Water is fantastic, but I'd still say this.
I think this is better. All right, so 9.42 for Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Also, I didn't talk about this at the top of the show, but we've been doing movies that you can stream, obviously, because a lot of places, movie theaters aren't opening, or as we learned earlier in the episode, they're starting to open in most places. But still, we're doing movies to stream. If you have a request, go to our website, moviereviewcrew.com. Please, please, please request movies. We typically, we do also horror movies for the month of October, so there's never been a better time to request horror movies, and we have actually we have a big backlog, but please get yours in there, because there can never be too many horror movies requested. So please, 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 moviereviewcrew.com, request movies right on our homepage. Again, 9.42 for Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
And I have also decided that the movies that that are backlogged that we're not able to get to, you know, right away, I'm just going to start grabbing those and doing written reviews for them on the Too Spooky page. So nice. Keep an eye out for that over the next couple of months, because I do try to throw up articles more frequently around October. So yeah, keep an eye out for those.
Hell yeah. Anything else, gentlemen?
Wakanda forever.
Hell yeah, my man.
Wakanda forever.
Someone in the show.
Tell your friends.
Let's go. But inconspicuously. Through the window.
Lady, I'm afraid I'm going to have to ask you to leave the store.
Okay, that's it. Screw you guys. I'm going home.
Game over, man. Game over. What are we going to do now? What are we going to do?
Good night. And good luck.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Movie Review Crew. Remember to like us and find us on any of your favorite social media platforms, as well as go to our website, moviereviewcrew.com.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.